Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hello and welcome to the Dork Forest. Let's try to knock this intro out in less than 4 freaking minutes. I'm Jackie Cation, JackieCation.com, DorkForest.com. Those are the websites. Let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg sang and composed the song you just heard. He'll sing again his words to the Mexican hat dance at the end of the program. Sarah Cohen sings with him. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio. Vilmos does my website, JackieCation.com. There are many ways to support the show. Basic one, PayPal button. You click on it, you send me some money. Good for you. There's also, you can Venmo me at Jackie@JackieCation.com. You can use the Amazon banner. There's a link on JackieCation.com and DorkForest.com that sends you to Amazon. You just order like normal. Doesn't cost you extra. It's just a way to support the show. Another way is to get merch. JackieCation.com has a merch page. A lot of Dork Forest stuff. A lot of stand-up comedy stuff. Also on the website, stand-up comedy calendar tells you where I'm going to be. This week, I'm going to be in Glendale, Arizona at a new club called Stir Crazy. Kind of psyched about that. And if you're in Arizona, the Phoenix area, Glendale is by Phoenix. So that's something. There's premium episodes. This is a live episode done on the Joco cruise in the middle of the ocean. Usually would be a premium episode because it's live, but it didn't cost me anything to put up, so I'm not going to charge you guys. The premium episodes are at thedorkforest.bandcamp.com, and they cost $2 a pop. So this one is free, and it's a live episode on the Joco cruise. The YouTube page is hopping. There's a YouTube page that has essentially the teaser clips and the full episodes now. And if you can't get iTunes or whatever at work, you can listen to the show in the background on YouTube. Let's get into the show. I'm sure I'm forgetting something. Joco cruise. We are on the Joco 2018 cruise. We have, this isn't bad numbers, you guys. I can get 22 people in any country in the world to come and see a live Dork Forest. This has got to be at least 60. And we are on a floating ship. So it's all working out. Here we are. My guest, Open Mike Eagle, ladies and gentlemen. Please clap.
Good day.
Brick Body Kids Fellow Still Travis. Daydream is the name of your current album. Is that correct?
That is true. That is the thing that I named it.
That is what you named it. And you could find you on the Twitter at @Mike_Eagle.
Yes.
There we go. So
all
when
facts.
We get back on land and you guys can all have reception. Again, speaking of which, guess what's not going to go off? My phone. My phone will not go off during the middle of this podcast because we're at sea. So, okay, and you also have a podcast about called Tights and Fights.
Tights and Fights. All right.
There we go.
Got two listeners. That's amazing.
There we go.
Thank you.
We're building slowly.
No, of course. It's only been 2 years.
It's with Hal Lublin and Danielle Radford, mm-hmm. who have both been on the Dork Forest. So there's a lot of crossovers. We're going to make a box set when this is over of the 3 hours of speaking with people. Now, I like the idea that you've taken the mic out. Let's do it.
I learned that last panel. I'm not going to sit like this the whole time. It's weird.
Right, it's weird. Yeah. It's a posture issue. Mm-hmm. I don't want any part of it. So your dorkdom might be one of them for sure.
One of them.
Wrestling.
Oh, my God.
I don't know anything about wrestling. I grew up next to the Crusher. That's
really?
What I know. Yes, he's from my hometown.
Was that Milwaukee?
That is South Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They're going to build a statue to him. Did you hear about that?
No, I didn't. That's amazing, though.
Yeah, they've already raised $9,000.
He was a huge star in the business in what, like the 50s, 60s?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. He was huge. He was like Stone Cold Steve Austin of like 1958 or something like that.
He was no Baron Von Raschke with his claw.
No, yeah.
My grandmother used to watch wrestling. That's the only wrestling. She was offended that it was not real. I once said, it's not real.
And Why did you tell her that?
Well, because I was a child and thus, by definition, an asshole.
I see.
I had not yet been socialized to know that I was supposed to keep it together.
How did she respond to being told that it wasn't real?
She said, you don't know.
Child.
My other grandmother was also kept saying things like Liberace, who was also from Milwaukee, just couldn't find the right girl.
Okay. People so want to believe in things.
They really do. I know I do.
What do you,
the reality of wrestling is that it is an athletic sport. We know that to be true.
It's athletic. I don't know if you want to call it a sport, but okay. It is athletic. It's okay. Sports entertainment.
Okay.
Technically is what it's called.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Now, there is wrestling at like a college level.
That ain't wrestling.
That's not wrestling.
I don't know what that is.
What is that?
I don't know.
Like, that seems to be dating.
That's weight cutting or something.
Okay, all right. Weight cutting. What is that? That sounds like a real thing.
You know, they have to like drink water for 2 weeks or something. I don't know. They got to like all be 108 pounds or something like that. And it's really unhealthy.
Right. It does seem they're lean.
Yeah, they're very lean.
Okay. Now, but The Rock, that guy is a monster. That guy is a brick house.
He ain't cutting no weights. He is drinking whatever he wants.
Boost.
Yeah.
He might be doing insurers.
Probably drinking muscle milk.
Muscle milk. Oh, yeah, that's now available. Mm. So who... Now, I asked you to pick a couple of your favorite wrestlers.
Mm.
Did you go current? Did you go all-time? Did you go... What'd you do? Where'd you go with these?
Okay, I need to go all-time probably, at least for one of them. So,
okay.
Shawn Michaels is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time.
Is it spelled S-E-A-N?
No, that's the porn star.
Okay.
That's a different... That's a different sports entertainment. It's not the one.
That is also not a professional sport.
Yeah.
Even though people are paid.
People believe in it, though. People believe.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels. S-H-A-W-N?
Yes.
All right.
S-H-A-W-N. His real name is Michael Higginbottom.
Oh, I'm glad he changed it for the...
I think the world would have been a very different place if he tried to be a professional wrestler named Michael Higginbottom.
His locker room experience would have definitely been a very different place.
He had a pretty interesting one either way.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
When did he wrestle? Shawn Michaels.
Man, he started in the late 80s in a tag team called the Midnight Rockers, him and this guy named Marty Jannetty, in the AWA, which was a northern-based wrestling association. He became popular in the 90s in the WWF when they just changed the name of the tag team to the Rockers.
Oh.
And they were pushed very hard, which is the term when the company believes in guys so much that they, you know, give them feature bouts, end up giving them the title.
Right.
So they were pushed real hard. And then his seminal moment, his star-making moment came when he turned heel.
Is that becoming a bad guy?
Becoming a bad guy, exactly. And the reason...
That's some language skills. Okay.
The way that he became a heel is iconic because, okay, he had this partner, Marty Jannetty, who he'd been tagging with for probably 10-plus years. They had a segment on this backstage interview program called The Barber Shop that Brutus the Barber Beefcake hosted.
Excellent.
Yes. Shawn Michaels... apparently was angry at Marty, and he didn't tell Marty before they walked on that set. And he expressed his anger by kicking Marty in the face and then throwing him through the glass of the barbershop window.
And this was unscripted?
This was very scripted.
Oh, very. Oh, I'm so sorry. I was like...
I'm sorry if I'm telling it too well.
No, you literally had me going, what?
Yeah.
It was like, there was a falling out.
Now, mind you, this was in probably 1993 or 94 when belief in wrestling as a legitimate sporting competition was like an all-time high. So... it certainly appeared that he legitimately threw his friend through a window.
Yeah.
And as a child, all of us were enraptured and like, this is the biggest asshole ever.
Right.
Yeah.
So in the fiction, in the storytelling of this, they had a falling out, but he did not know what it was.
Right.
And so Shawn Michaels and...
Marty Jannetty.
Marty Jannetty. Paul Giamatti. He will be constantly referred
to. That's who
will
be playing him in the
played by Paul Giamatti. And they had been the Rockers for like 10 years.
Yes.
So they go on to a talk show.
Yes.
And on this talk show, a fight breaks out.
Right.
Because it's a wrestling talk show.
Yes, it is.
Why shouldn't a fight break out in a wrestling
show? Every time it breaks out and we're still surprised.
I was just surprised. I should not have been surprised because, yes, every freaking time it should definitely. Okay. And then, so he becomes a heel.
Mm-hmm.
What happens to Paul Giamatti?
Marty Jannetty. They go on to have a feud that lasts maybe a year. And then Marty Jannetty, because of real life personal issues, ends up getting like fired from the company.
Oh, okay.
And so Shawn Michaels, because the reason I chose him as one of my best favorite performers is because, like, in the ring, in terms of ability to do all the moves and do all of the emotion it takes to draw people into a match, he's considered like the Michael Jordan.
Oh, he's a hell of a showman.
He's the best. He's called the Showstopper, the Show Stealer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Mr. WrestleMania. He's got a lot of nicknames.
Now, here's a very basic question. How old is Shawn Michaels in 1988?
88? I would imagine probably in his mid-20s.
Mid-20s in the late 80s?
Yeah, I would believe so, yeah.
Okay, so he's maybe at his physical peak.
I would say no, because the late 80s and early 90s specifically were a time for big-time steroid use in the WWF.
Oh, okay.
So he was very, like, muscular at that time in a way that it was almost hindering his mobility.
Oh, wow.
So as he shed weight later on, that's when he kind of reached his peak physical performance. That plus years of perfecting the craft.
Right, and clearly some sit-ups or something.
Yeah, at least five.
A day.
Yeah.
I'm going to say every day that guy did a sit-up. Mm-hmm. And what were his signature, as a team, what were their moves?
They had the Rocker Dropper.
Rocker Dropper.
Which I believe was a combination, like both guys would go to the top rope.
Top rope? Is that legal?
In the WWF it was. Some places it wasn't.
Okay.
Top rope, WWF was legal. At the same time, they would bleep onto one opponent, and I think one was doing a body splash and the other one was doing a leg drop.
Oh, my God.
I believe that was the
Under the
drop.
Same opponent?
Onto the same prone body who knew it was going to happen.
Who knew in advance?
Sitting there waiting for it.
He was like, oh, so I just lie here.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. So
and trust these alcoholics and
that are
drug addicts
leap
with my
onto
life.
Him.
Yeah.
Okay. And then he goes solo.
He does.
Because
go
he's
solo.
A heel.
Mm-hmm.
And does his persona change noticeably? Does his
yes.
costume
okay.
change?
Okay. So the Rockers were like 1980s rock. They looked like Poison, like members of Poison. They had like mullets.
Yeah.
And like tassels on their jackets.
Nice.
And stuff. And they used
tassels.
To run to the ring. And they were, you know, they were fan favorites. So they were like nice guys.
Yeah.
After he threw his partner through the window, however, he was no longer a nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
He started coming out to music called Sexy Boy was the name of his new theme song.
Interesting. Interesting.
And he started wearing like leather chaps and like sunglasses. And he had this vest that was held together by a series of chains. And he started to play a character that was very much like a stripper.
Like a Chippendales kind of
like
guy?
Like a Chippendales kind of guy.
All right. That is a bad person.
I mean,
no.
Morally, he was bad.
Right.
And, you know, he just, that was his
but
way of
antagonizing. But fashion-wise, he was killing it,
oh
is what
God,
you were telling me.
Amazing.
So, right.
He let his chest hair grow out, too.
Oh,
that
interesting.
That helped that, too. They usually do a lot of waxing, but he let his chest hair grow out.
As Did he have a lot
as
of
bad
chest
guys
hair?
Do.
Well, yeah, but that's
significant chest hair.
Good for him.
Good
All right. So who wrote Sexy Boy? Any idea? Offhand?
I don't know who wrote it. I imagine it's WWF's former music creator, this guy named Jim Johnston, who used to write all the songs.
Okay.
I imagine it was him. But originally, he had a valet.
Oh, did he?
Yes.
A manservant, per se.
Well, it was a woman who
accompanied
him to the ring
mm-hmm.
and also used to like help him cheat to win matches, because that's something heels do. Heels have to cheat to win matches.
Oh.
That's how you know they're bad, because the good guys follow the rules.
Now,
bad guys have their valet hit the good guy with a shoe.
Oh, just sort of a side, yeah. Like a boomerang shoe coming
yeah.
around the...
It's like a loaded boot.
Right. So ref turns around.
Yes.
Clearly in the script. Do you know anything about... And I don't mean to blow the cover. Let's blow the cover
Let's blow
it.
The cover.
Are there rehearsals?
Okay, so typically these guys have an arena for a day. And they have it rented out all day. And so... after the ring is set up in the afternoon, typically, there's ring time to be had.
There should be a walkthrough at least,
right? Well, there's a walkthrough of like new spots, which are things that haven't really been done before or tried. Like if somebody's going to suplex somebody off a ladder through a table and that's not something they could do every night.
Oh, right.
They'll run through that.
Oh, that's
but,
good idea.
But for the most part, things they just figure them out there.
It's an improv kind of situation.
Sometimes,
so,
yeah.
So the ref knows where he's supposed to turn around, but he's got to sort of read the cues of everyone around him.
Right.
Are there famous refs?
Yes, absolutely.
Who's a famous...
What are their names? The Hebner twins.
Oh, the twins?
Dave and Earl Hebner.
Dave and...
twin referees that are both very famous. They did a spot once where Earl pretended to be Dave... but Earl had secretly made a deal with the Million Dollar Man where he was going to give the Million Dollar Man the title no matter what happened.
Okay.
But their twindom was exposed after the match when suddenly there were two Dave Hebners in the ring. And as children, again, we were like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, my God. A mind was blown.
Yeah.
Because previously we did not know.
We did not know.
They had always just either... sort of like twins on sitcoms.
Well, you know what? Actually, what happened was that Dave worked in the WWF and Earl worked in another company called the National Wrestling Alliance. And typically, you didn't watch both at that time. And so
no, you had your favorites.
We did not know there were that he had a brother that looked exactly like him.
Wow. That is, first of all, This is some next level.
Oh my God.
Plotting and planning and serious consideration of, like, it's soap opera, but it's more like improv-y soap opera.
Yeah, it's mind fuckery. I think is a technical term for it.
That might be the technical term. Yeah. I think. Oh, that's awesome. So, okay, so Shawn Michaels is now a heel.
He's a heel.
Now, see, he's got a cheat to win
with his valet, Sensational Sherry.
Oh. Well, I'm glad she was appreciated.
Yeah. Nobody else appreciated her. She appreciated herself.
Exactly.
Now, I brought her up because she originally sang his theme song.
Oh.
He's just a sexy boy, sexy boy. He's not your boy toy, boy toy. He's just a sexy boy. Now.
Oh, my God. I think I'm in love with Sensational Sherry.
It was great. It's a great song. You got to be in love with her and Jim Johnston and everybody else who was involved. Now, originally, she sang the theme, and then she left the company, and they re-recorded the theme with him singing it. So suddenly, it's, I'm just a sexy boy. Sexy boy.
Oh, my God.
I'm not your boy toy. Boy toy. And you would think that that would... somehow
not
be
work.
Controversial.
Yeah.
Worked for 20 years.
Why don't I watch more wrestling?
I don't know. If I had Wi-Fi, I'd be watching it right now.
As we speak. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. All right. So now, so the 90s, 20 years. So 20 92, years. 2000 to 2012.
Yeah.
Math. It's happening in front of you. So 20 years, he's a heel.
Well, no, not necessarily. For about 10 years, he's a heel.
Okay.
Then he starts this heel faction called D-Generation X.
Nice.
Yeah.
D-Generation.
Now, D-Generation X, this was, I want to say, 97. And there's a force moving through the wrestling business where suddenly it's not exciting to be what they call a white meat baby face. And a white meat baby face is like Captain America, I'm the good guy, I'm here to save the day. I'm a stiff, stuffed shirt type person. And what started to happen like in culture overall, but specifically in wrestling, is that good guys had to have an edge. They had to kind of appeal to younger fans. They had to be more rebellious.
I think of it as the shining wire in Watership Down. Anyway, it's a weird reference. If we had the internet, we could all know. Later. It's essentially a dystopian, it's a more cynical version of what good guys are.
An anti-hero.
Right, but also more nuanced.
Right.
So what we'd like is less cynicism, but also less cookie cutter.
Right.
So interesting. So who? So he's.
He starts his faction, and they're initially heels. This is kind of him doubling down on heeldom because he's just fucking with everybody left and right, and really pushing the line in terms of like language and vulgarity and kind of stuff too, which initially made him more of a heel in that era because you kind of needed to push the envelope. But people really started liking it, and so this group ended up turning babyface and him with it.
Babyface is an actual character name?
Babyface is a character designation. So
okay.
Good guys are babyfaces, bad guys are heels.
Oh, fair enough. Yeah. All right. What is The Rock? Was he a babyface?
The Rock, when he first started, his name was Rocky Maivia, which celebrated his heritage because his grandfather was a wrestler named High Chief Peter Maivia, and his dad was a wrestler named Rocky Johnson.
Okay.
So they put the names together.
Oh, nice.
Rocky Maivia. And he was very, he wore like this weird cultural Samoan garb and had these weird little braids. And he was pushed as a super white meat baby face.
Okay.
And the crowd shit all over him.
Oh.
He would come out, you know, and being put in the best positions to try to vanquish bad guys. And the crowd would chant, "Die, Rocky, die."
What?
Yes. Legitimately, people wanted him to die.
And that was not scripted?
No. I mean, you can't script crowd reaction.
Okay.
So that was an organic thing that was taking place.
Oh, interesting. Okay. He was rejected?
Yes. And so then they took the cue and turned him heel. And that's when he became The Rock. And he became the leader of a faction called the Nation of Domination when they put all the brown people together and made them act like the Black Panthers.
In a wrestling vibe. With a complete wrestling vibe.
They would all stand and face the hard camera and raise their fists and they would beat up white people. It was a glorious time in wrestling. But he was a bad guy as a part of that. And then when he was put in a position to talk shit to people, his personality got over. And that's when people really got behind him as a character.
Right.
And he became a good guy.
Right, because here's the thing about The Rock. He fixes almost every movie he's in.
Yeah, he fixes franchise. He's a franchise fixer.
There's some seriously terrible movies that I have sat through at least 15 minutes of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've stopped doing that. But
yeah, it's a row. It's a row to hoe.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, currently, Shawn Michaels, still working?
No, he retired, I want to say, 6 or 7 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
He had a retirement match in the classic wrestling angle where, you know, if you lose this match, this is your career.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. They raised the stakes.
Exactly.
They're like, I'm going to want the pink slip to your career on
basically,
the table.
Yes.
Okay.
And it was a match with The Undertaker, and he lost the match.
He sounds like a heel, The Undertaker.
The Undertaker has also been a babyface and a heel. He's a very old character, so he's definitely been on both sides of the line.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Cheerful Undertaker.
No, not cheerful. But sometimes
cheerful.
Beloved, but
oh,
never cheerful.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. And sometimes a rule follower.
Yes.
Because The Undertaker, if he's a babyface, he's following the rules.
Right.
What are the rules? Are there rules?
There's tons of rules. And if you're a babyface, it doesn't, like, the classic definition of a babyface is that you follow the rules. But as lines, you know, started to blur and anti-heroes started to appear, it wasn't that you necessarily had to follow the rules. It's just that you never really needed to you couldn't have the advantage on your side, really.
Oh, you had to be the underdog?
Basically.
Okay.
So, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin's probably the biggest example of an anti-hero in wrestling history. Probably one of the biggest drawing characters, meaning more people spent money to watch him or came to see him perform than anybody else in history, just about. And he was an asshole. He was a fucking asshole. His character was a piece of trash.
Okay.
But, you know, he got popular because at the time, I mean, he just reflected the attitude of the day.
Okay.
And so when they positioned him against the owner of the company, who was an even bigger asshole, and suddenly he's the good guy. And the owner of the company can send out wave after wave of wrestler to try to beat him up.
Yeah.
Then suddenly you're on his side.
Right, right, because he is indeed the underdog.
Exactly.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. Steve Austin, if I remember the name of the $6 million man? Okay.
Yes.
So he was a Stone Cold version of that.
He was a Stone Cold version of Steve Austin.
Of Steve Austin, yeah. The $6 million man, which not hard to do, not hard to do. That is a low bar of coldness. So What? Okay, I know that he's not one of your favorites, but I have to ask about Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I mean, no, he's great. He's fantastic.
Sure.
Yeah, he's
sure.
Amazing.
I mean, and everybody was on board. Also from the 90s?
Yes. Reached his height of popularity probably in like 98.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, wow. Okay. I'm, my too many questions.
No, it's a lot. There's a lot happening. I get it.
There's
moving parts.
So much. So many. Okay. Let's go with, so he lost to the, Shawn Michaels, let's get back to him.
He lost his retirement match to The Undertaker.
What was that fight like?
It was epic, because you, as a fan, you're hanging off of every move. Because
Do you know going in that he's going to lose?
You know going in that there's a strong chance that he could, but they were both 50.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there's no, like that wasn't really
Were they
issue.
Both planning to retire?
I don't think that was the case. The Undertaker's still wrestling. He still hasn't retired yet.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I suppose he's kind of timeless.
He just got a hip replacement.
Oh, did he?
Yes. And he's not hung up the boots yet.
The fact that you know that he got a hip replacement.
Yeah, no, I follow way too closely.
You get hip checked.
Yeah, I read the whole internet on wrestling. Every day, except when I'm on this boat, because I can't.
Right, sadly. Yeah. This boat will not. It's a per-minute internet.
Yep, something could be happening. It's going to be breaking news right now. I won't know till next week.
It's probably horrible.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the real question. Now, I've digressed to The Undertaker. Tell me more about, what do you know about The Undertaker's career?
He started as a wrestler in the NWA/WCW, which is a whole nother story. He started as a character named Mean Mark Callis. His name is Mark Calloway.
Yes.
And they called him Mark Callis because they're very creative.
Yes.
And he was just a big guy with leather gloves who used to punch people in the chest. Yeah, his finishing move was called the Heart Punch.
The Heart Punch?
The Heart Punch.
Oh, Heart
Punch. To punch you in the heart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That was his...
With his gloves.
With his gloves.
Well, good for him.
Yeah. And then in WCW at the time, this was a big company, but they didn't do character development very well. And so a lot of guys, like Steve Austin had been in WCW as Stunning Steve Austin, who was kind of just a guy. Like he was obviously talented, but they didn't create a character by which he could, like, get over with the fans.
Okay.
And so the same situation happened with The Undertaker. He was Mean Mark Callis, and then he left and was brought into the WWF as The Undertaker. And suddenly, there's a character, there's pageantry.
A scythe?
Not a scythe. He did walk with a...
They've left money on the table there.
I'll tell you what they did do.
What did they do?
He had a manager named Paul Bearer.
Okay, they didn't leave money on the table then.
He used to accompany them to the ring with an urn that he used to hit people in the head with so The Undertaker could cheat and win.
Yes, just ashes all over the ring.
The one time they took the lid off of the urn, there was like a weird spotlight in it. And just the light shot out, and he's just waving it around. Like he just, what is this?
Like it was the Ark of the Covenant?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
It was incredible. Yes. Oh, my God. It was amazing.
You gotta
watch
into
this
wrestling?
Stuff. You just turn it on and watch for 2 weeks in a row, and you got it all.
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean
like, as an actual performer.
As a writer.
Oh, as a writer?
Yeah, as a writer.
See, this is the thing. Everybody thinks they want that job. Like, I used to think I wanted that job.
Yeah.
But then you find out about people who have that job, and it's, like, the worst job ever.
Is it?
Yeah, because there's
like
no off-season.
Oh, right.
It's 52 weeks a year. They do, the WWE right now does... like 6 hours of original television every week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. And the guy who, like, the owner of it, Vince McMahon, he's also, like, the head writer, and he's 77 and out of his fucking mind. And
that resonated.
Yeah. And so literally, like, they'll have storylines going, and then he'll show up at the creative meeting on Sunday for their Monday live show and just make them rewrite everything.
Oh.
It's really punishing. For the writers, they fucking hate it.
Right.
And there's been a lot of, like, you know, people who've
just reveals, like, because I'm sure you could follow these people on their own blogs and stuff. And they, do you think they're encouraged? Like, does Vince McMahon, he sounds like a micromanager guy.
Yes.
And so Does he want to hear their bullshit?
The, like the writers?
Yeah.
Like their bullshit in what sense?
And,
what
like if they feel pressure or they feel like they're not appreciated.
Oh, he could give a fuck.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, that's what I would think. And so if they're whining about it on their Tumblr blog, is there backlash? Have we heard?
Well, you can't do that because the IWC, the Internet Wrestling Community, they'll find out about this and put it on blast quickly, and you will be swiftly fired.
So, okay, so they will shut that down.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, and I can't imagine. Like, I mean, it's the best job, right? To make up the name Paul Bearer. This is my dude, Paul Bearer.
Paul Bearer.
And
I'm an undertaker. This is Paul Bearer.
But this has got to be a $15 an hour job, though.
I would think they get paid more than that. I have no idea.
Because there's so much money in this gig, right?
I mean, the WWE generates billions. It generates billions annually. Yeah.
Right. He's not living check to check. This is all working out for him.
I mean, they got licensing deals and toys and video games and
right. I've seen entire rows of Toys R Us that are dedicated to this program.
Mm-hmm.
And is there? And I've had other wrestling episodes of The Dork Forest. My mind is a sieve, you guys. So I will be asking the same questions. Is there just one now? Are they all one? And then there's sort of
like
an
one
A-ball
company?
Kind of
is that
thing?
What
yeah.
You mean? Yeah, there's one main company, WWE. There's a lot of small independent companies, but they kind of exist in territories.
There's small local regional kind of stuff,
right? I mean, and,
to come
and
up in
a little less regional these days because of the internet, so they can put on shows everywhere. They're just smaller shows, and there's wrestlers who primarily work the independent market. But this is the first time ever where, as a wrestler, you can make more money on the independent market than you can in the WWE. But you have to be that good.
Oh, okay. And what defines that good? Is it the charisma? Is it the athleticism?
It's drawing power, plain and simple.
Okay, so if you can fill the room,
yep.
However you do it.
Right.
Whatever that skill set is.
Whatever thing it is, yeah.
Okay. All right, so do you feel like we've addressed Shawn Michaels' career?
I think we've touched on quite a bit. Anything else, we would get into like very salacious backstage stuff, which, you know.
Pretty great.
I mean, yeah, but it's all hearsay, so who knows?
Oh, well, heaven forfend that we get into hearsay. What, pick another guy or another? Are there women?
Yes, there's women. There's tons of.
Do they fight men? Is it co-ed?
Well, in some organizations, there's intergender wrestling. In a WWE, there typically hasn't been.
Okay.
There's a wrestling promotion on television now called Lucha Underground.
The Mexican...
Yes.
Okay.
But this is a newer kind of stylized version of a classic Mexican wrestling. So there's a lot of masks and characters and lore and all that. But they do straight up intergender wrestling. Like,
okay.
Because
I know Dana Gould, comedians, Blanka Patch and Ron Funches are all into the Lucha kind of situation. Is there several different versions of that as well?
Yes. There's a big company. There's two big companies in Mexico where Lucha kind of exists. That's CMLL and AAA. Those are the big wrestling, the WWEs of Mexico.
Right.
But Lucha Underground is like a new, it's like kind of an Americanized version.
Okay.
But it's pretty progressive.
Okay.
As well.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, let's go on to another favorite.
See, we talked about The Rock.
Because The Rock's one of your faves?
The Rock is one of my fave. Like, all time, he's definitely one of my favorites as well.
Why is that?
He's
very handsome. That's why he's one of my favorites.
Well, I mean...
And super charming.
That didn't hurt him with me either.
No.
I mean, you know, he's a strapping gentleman.
Sure.
But he's just got the ultimate charisma, and that's just so important. In wrestling, you can have all of these other skill sets, and many guys have had the technical ability and the body and the look and all that. But if you don't have the charisma, you can't really like be a star in it.
Right.
And he's a guy that really put it all together. Probably one of the last guys that really put it all together.
Okay. And when did he? I don't even know when he stopped wrestling and started. Does he still wrestle?
He will occasionally come back for a WrestleMania match. I think the last time he did was 2 years ago.
Okay.
Two or three years ago he came back for a match.
Because he loves the sport. Like, he loves the
I mean, it's part of his family history.
Because of his dad and his granddad.
Exactly. And I think his mom was in it. And he's part of a big – there's a big Samoan wrestling family. Like, where just about every Samoan wrestler who's ever been popular is part of the same family.
So they're all cousins? They're related?
Pretty much, yeah. Jimmy Snuka, Superfly, is part of their family. I'm trying to think of who else is. These guys, the Wild Samoans. There's a new guy, Roman Reigns, who's probably one of the biggest guys now, who's part of that family.
How do you spell Reigns?
R-E-I-G-N-S.
Okay.
In the monarchy sense.
Right.
Yeah.
And Roman.
Roman.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yes, do you hear that, boo?
There's an anti-monarchist in the audience, or
I think it's anti-monarchist and anti-Roman Reigns.
Yeah. It's what is Roman Reigns? Just as we digress,
sure.
What's his character?
I've tried to describe his character, and he to me the closest thing I can come up with is he looks like somebody who just did cocaine. That's his whole character.
Oh,
it's like all you know.
Yeah,
he looks like somebody who just did a couple lines and he's coming out there to kick your ass. Like,
excellent, like that puffed out chest,
yeah.
And just crazy.
He does a lot of like he does this move called the Superman punch. This is his finisher, and he like cocks his fist before he does it. It's very
like a shotgun
douchey.
Thing?
It's so douchey, yeah. it's like a douchebag, but he's a good guy because.
Oh, he's a babyface?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But a lot of the fans, like as we just heard, a lot of the fans reject him.
Right.
I mean,
they're going to have to take that into account, aren't they?
And classically, they would. They would follow the same path they did with Rocky Maivia and turn him heel at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But they have refused to turn Roman Reigns heel.
And how long has he been in the game?
Probably like 6 years.
Okay.
Maybe
so maybe
seven.
They're giving him a
it's too long. They're waiting too long.
Oh, they waited too long. The window might have closed.
Yeah, well, it's opened and closed a few times.
maybe it's going in a circle, and it'll open again. So, and they'll shove him out with a new mask and possibly a vest.
Well, yeah, he just needs to talk shit to the audience. That's all he needs to do.
All right. Wow.
He needs to say, "Hey, people, I hate you," and then
I hate you back.
All will be solved.
Yes. Oh, here's a question. Are there any wrestlers who have, like, their whole families come into the ring?
Their whole family comes into the ring. I don't think so.
Oh, I want that. I don't know why.
Like grandma
I want, like, a wife and kids. And then,
oh, there's...
And then the bad guy, like, threatens the children.
Oh, that's happened.
Oh, that's happened.
Oh, people's kids get beat up all the time. All the time. That happens.
Yes.
Like, that's on the regular.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Rey Mysterio. Like, wait a minute. Rey Mysterio got... Oh, what happened with
Rey Mysterio.
He had his kid out there, and this bad guy wrestler who's since passed on, but he was one of the greatest ever, too, named Eddie Guerrero.
Okay.
He came out and told Rey Mysterio's kid, "I'm your real dad." It was fucking incredible.
Wow. That had to be a moment in television history.
Amazing.
That is amazing.
Oh, my God.
This isn't going to be a wrestling match. It's going to be a war.
Yes.
That's what I understand from the 70s, is that it wasn't a wrestling match. Mm-hmm. It was a war.
It was a fight.
Yeah. And the only other wrestlers I know, of course, would be Jumpin' Jim Brunzell.
Jumpin' Jim Brunzell. He's an AWA guy.
And the High Flyers.
Yeah.
He was part of the...
he was part of the Killer Bees.
Was he also part of the Killer Bees?
Mm-hmm. Bee Brian Blair and Jumpin' Jim Brunzell.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Did he jump well into his 60s?
I think he's still jumping right now. Somewhere.
That guy?
He's somewhere jumping.
Somewhere jumping. Knowing that it'll matter.
Yeah.
Okay. So The Rock, what else about has The Rock ever been a heel?
Yes, The Rock was a heel.
Wait, was he heel first?
Yes, but he also became a heel again once he started to do movies.
Okay,
and so he wasn't around as much anymore. He became more useful as a heel, so he leaned into his kind of Hollywood persona, and I'm better than this, and I got other things to go do, and that helped him put over younger talents.
Oh,
yeah.
Which makes me like The Rock even more.
It's great.
Right, because he's helping the next generation.
I'll tell you one thing, though. There is one person in the history of wrestling who The Rock refused to work with.
Dun, dun, dun.
Shawn Michaels.
And we look back, mm-hmm. and it all comes full circle.
Yeah.
Why is that? Do we know why? Was
my,
that
my
real
original
or was that
this is real. This is
oh,
real.
Real.
My original understanding of it was something that happened when Shawn Michaels was wrestling for The Rock's grandmother's promotion, which I think was based in the Bay Area, that there was something he did there that was disrespectful, and that carried on. But one thing that happened for sure is that when The Rock was Rocky Maivia and he was brought in and he was being pushed, Shawn Michaels, and this was at the height of his kind of like backstage throw his weight around brattiness, when he was starting D-Generation X, they played politics against The Rock a lot and would refuse to do the job for him, which means they wouldn't want to lose to him. And so,
so they weren't following. They didn't want to do that script,
right? And Shawn Michaels was one of the few people who had enough political power to refuse to do certain things, and the people who were in his faction he could protect that way as well.
Oh, interesting. And yeah. Nobody said, your real name's Higginbottom.
Nobody said his real name's Higginbottom.
It's you don't really have a leg to stand on.
Calm
here,
down,
buddy.
Higginbottom.
Yeah. Exactly. Buddy. Why don't you keep it together? Wow. Well, all right. So literally, he tried to hurt The Rock's career.
Yeah, I mean, because at the time people thought, I mean, nobody could look at what The Rock was doing and assume or ever expect that he would get as big as he got.
Right.
And that's what happens a lot.
I had the same thing about Mike Birbiglia, you guys. such an asshole. Hi. he doesn't know he's my arch enemy.
That's
he does now.
Funny.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't listen to this. Anyway, I love Mike Birbiglia.
Do you really?
I just want his career. Nathan Lane didn't want to sleep with me. Anyway, so out loud again? Really? Anyway, so Open Mike Eagle, you guys.
No,
by the way, just going, what is happening? Is she throwing her career away? Yes.
No, that was great.
By the way, just to remind everybody, Tights and Fights is on the iTunes and all the things, right?
Yeah, it's on your podcast. As soon as you get your Wi-Fi back, it's in your phone already.
It's already there. Danielle Radford and Hal Lublin, do you guys talk about wrestling?
We talk about the 6-plus hours of live things that have happened every week.
Every week?
Every week.
What day does it drop?
Thursdays. We record on Thursdays, and it comes out.
And it just
Wednesdays
goes out.
Comes on Thursday, yeah.
So you have to schedule. First of all, you're all already watching 6 hours of whatever's happening.
For free.
For free. Mm-hmm. On purpose.
Yep.
Not a problem. Not even an issue.
I mean, it's a problem sometimes. Sometimes it's an issue.
Right. It might be an issue, but it's not a chore.
Well, it's not a chore.
No, it isn't.
But, you know, at TiVo, fast forward. You know.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
And then the three of you, is it an hour-long show where you try to keep it together?
Yeah, we try to keep it an hour, but usually goes a little bit over.
Right, but not so bad. Because, okay, and then if you want to follow Mike Eagle, it's at Mike_Eagle on Twitter, just so you know. So The Rock, any other good stories about The Rock? So before we move to a third?
Stories about The Rock. Oh, boy. I guess I can't think of any, like, real good ones. Selling is important in wrestling. Selling is how you register your opponent's offense. So
those are all words that I don't know what that means.
So, sell. If you and I are in a wrestling match, right?
Yes.
And you flip the table over.
Flip the table. Yes.
And you slap me in the face, right?
Yeah.
I, as a performer, I can make it seem like that was the hardest I've ever been struck in my life.
Okay.
Or I could act like it had no effect whatsoever.
Okay.
Now, typically for the effect of generating money,
yes,
you want to make it seem like that was the most devastating blow I've ever received.
Right. So it'd be how you sold
exactly. The
receiving of that blow.
Exactly.
Okay.
And so The Rock and Steve Austin, Stone Cold Steve Austin,
yep,
had an amazing rivalry. And Steve Austin's finishing move is called Stone Cold Stunner. And the way that The Rock used to take this move is just legendary. Like, he would take it, and then he would, like, basically do backflips and, like, tumble out of the ring, basically. He would just make it look extra absurd. But when asked about this recently, he said that, like, they had, like, a wager, like, between them to see who could take each other's finisher in the most, like, absurd.
Oh, way. Right.
They,
oh,
were, like, they would, like, bet cases of beer on it, basically.
Oh, that is... You know, I love that they're having a good time.
They're having a great time. I mean, when business is going well and the guys are in the positions that they feel like they should be in, then, of course, they're having fun. But a lot of guys don't have fun.
That is too bad. Yeah. I mean, if you can't have fun at your work, huh?
Yeah.
Come on, get new work. But what was the Rock's finishing move?
The rock bottom.
The rock bottom.
Yeah.
Some ass slapping? What's happening?
No. Not on his move. Not on his move.
And then Stone Cold Steve Austin would run out the door. He'd like slap, and then he would just bolt.
Right.
Like in 20 seconds. I would love to see that. He was like, you hit my bottom so hard that I had to run to the nearest soda shop.
I would enjoy your wrestling promotion. I would enjoy watching.
I'm telling you, this sounds like a fun, it sounds like a hell of a gig to write the stories.
I think you should maybe start one of your own. I'd watch.
Sure. Dork Forest Wrestling, you guys.
Oh, DFW. DFW, I love it. Yes.
Dork. And so what was it? What was his bottom?
No, his rock bottom, he would grab his opponent kind of like sideways hug.
Yeah.
But arm under the neck.
Yeah.
And he would lift them up and sweep their legs out from under them and kind of drive their shoulders into the mat. It's the rock bottom.
Sweep the leg. We know historically. Not good.
Mm-hmm.
Not good, you guys. The crane, the only way to fight that.
He also had the people's elbow, which was a fun move.
The people's elbow?
The people's elbow. The elbow of the people. This guy knows. This guy knows. There it is.
That is a very nice move.
Yeah.
Was that it?
No. Oh, that was part of it.
Yeah. Drop an elbow.
It was an elbow with a lot of pageantry.
An elbow with pageantry.
Mm-hmm.
I think that should be a book.
Yeah.
Okay. So, elbow of the people. I'm just thinking of Mao. Anyway.
And when he was a heel for a while with Vince McMahon's corporation, he called it the corporate elbow.
Oh my! Very nice.
Yeah.
That's what you get when you cross the corporation.
That's right.
Is you get the corporate elbow.
That's right.
I saw that George Clooney movie. we got Sexy Boy Shawn Michaels.
Sexy Boy.
I will be Googling that song.
It's a great song.
As I can.
He's like 50. Still comes out to it.
Oh, that's
still comes
awesome.
Out.
It's he's not. What's the chorus? I'm not your sexy.
I'm not your boy toy. Boy toy. I'm just a sexy boy. Sexy boy. We ought to start a group.
This is very beautiful a cappella, you guys. And give me a third.
Oh, man. I kind of want to go indie now. I want to talk about independent wrestlers a little bit. So maybe...
Okay.
A guy that's really awesome right now is this guy named Kenny Omega.
Omega?
He's an incredible
performer. A beginner or a finisher?
No. That's...
That'd be Kenny Alpha.
That's good. That's good.
What's the name of his manager?
He doesn't have one, but he's in a group called the Bullet Club, but he doesn't have a manager.
Okay.
Like on the independents, they typically don't have managers.
Sure.
Yeah, that's more when you can afford... Or like, you know... Because when you're a manager, the company's just paying your contract.
Okay.
When you're an independent wrestler, you're really an independent contractor. Even the WWE guys are independent contractors. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like, everybody's 1099?
Yes.
Okay, interesting.
And there have been a lot of lawsuits to try to correct that because they're really not independent contractors.
Right. There should be some sort of unionized.
Yeah. And they've been trying to start unions.
What's the
years.
Health insurance situation?
I mean, the WWE pays for everything. If you're a WWE worker, if you wrestled for them for a year in 1994.
Yeah.
And if you're on heroin right now, they'll pay for your rehab. Like they pay for everything.
Oh, good. That's awesome.
I mean, that part is great. But, you know, like these guys, a lot of times have to fly themselves around, rent their own cars, like a lot of stuff that really they should be taken care of.
Right.
But they're not.
Okay. Well, fair enough. Are there, because there's got to be a big team. Before we get into Kenny Omega,
mm-hmm.
there's got to be a big team because it's more like a band than like stand-up. right? So it's got to have, like, people to set up the ring.
Right.
There's a lot of roadies kind of situation.
Yes, in a WWE for sure. Now, on the independents, it is a little bit more like stand-up. People travel on their own with their gear and their merch in a bag, and they show up. And the independent company has hired guys to set up a ring.
Okay.
But these guys work out the match on their own.
Right. And, so they don't have to bring the sound system.
Right.
They just bring themselves
exactly.
and their kit.
Yep.
Okay. Fair enough. More like a prop comic than a...
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Bunch of carrot tops running around beating each other in the head.
That guy has become very buff.
Yeah. He could start tomorrow.
Right. And still a ginger. So there could be a thim. Oh, yay. A ginger. Okay. So... Ever since Ron Weasley, we all know. So Kenny Omega, is Kenny Omega relatively new?
Kenny Omega is new to national recognition, but he's been wrestling, 10, 12 years.
Okay.
I'm sure.
Yeah. What is his persona?
His persona, that's interesting. So he wrestles primarily in New Japan Pro Wrestling, which is the WWE of Japan, but he's Canadian.
He's Canadian?
He's Canadian, yeah.
Okay.
He wrestles in Japan primarily. Because New Japan Pro Wrestling has relationships with a lot of the independent promotions in America.
Okay.
And so a lot of guys, if they're popular enough and good enough, they'll go work over there. And he became so over there that's primarily where he works out of.
Okay, and this is not sumo wrestling, which is a real sport.
Yeah, this is not that. But in Japan, even pro wrestling is treated more like a real sport.
Okay.
The belief in it is still kept at a really high level, where in the States, they kind of threw that away.
Right. Yeah. They're like, no, we're writing this.
Well, the reason that they did that, though, is to get around, like, these athletic commissions. They used to have to pay athletic commissions
in
every place.
Right.
And to get around that, they just said, no, this is entertainment.
This is theater.
Yeah,
okay.
They admitted it.
Oh, basically. Fair enough. Yeah. It was like, let's save some fees.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. So so Kenny Omega, like, how old is he? 30s?
I would say he's probably 30, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, just 30?
Probably just 30.
And
maybe a little older, but...
Kenny Omega. Mm-hmm. What's his real name? Do we know?
I don't know his real name.
Well, he's got a mysterious background.
He does. Well, I just haven't Wikipedia'd him yet. I haven't looked him up.
And how does he dress?
He has this kind of old school 90s mullet thing that I really dig on him. He's got this like curly, thick mullet
brownish
situation.
Or?
It's lighter.
Okay.
It's
lighter.
Like it's
a
almost
blonde.
White. I think he's like platinum.
Oh, okay.
He does the platinum thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Frosting his tips.
Mm-hmm.
He might bring it.
I think that's
he might actually.
Accurate.
Yeah. The reintroduction of the mullet is, I got mixed feelings.
Well, in wrestling, it never left.
Oh, it never left.
Never left.
Well, good for them.
Yeah.
I'm all right with that. Okay, now we have only a couple of minutes left.
Sure.
So go deep as you want into this Kenny Omega business. Why Omega, do you think?
He just puts on the best matches, maybe in the world.
Oh.
It's like we were talking about with Shawn Michaels, where you have this mixture of the technical ability and then the emotional gravitas brought into it and the charisma. And he kind of puts it all together. And he's just really on the vanguard of, like, progressives in that landscape. He just got reunited with his old partner, Kota Ibushi, who's a Japanese wrestler who they used to have a tag team with.
Okay.
And their tag team is called the Golden Lovers. And it's very, it very much, they're presented like a couple.
Okay.
Yeah, like not like, not in a way where they make it part of the storyline.
Okay.
But the way that they are, the way that they are coupled together, it's very
much. Okay, so their partnership
there's a romance to it.
Oh, there's a romance to it. But they are not married in the story.
No.
Okay. Interesting. And so now he's doing also some duo matches.
I don't know if they've done any tag team stuff. Or maybe he does tag team stuff.
Or maybe they're
all the
just
time.
Showing up at the talk shows together.
Well, they just had a big reunion kind of event happen where, like, some guys in the Bullet Club turned on Kenny Omega in the same way that Shawn Michaels turned on Marty Jannetty.
Mm-hmm.
And Kota Ibushi came down to make the save.
Okay.
And there was a lot of tension in this moment where Kenny Omega's beaten down and Kota Ibushi's trying to help him up. And they're having this moment like, are they back together? Are they? And there's all this. And then Kota Ibushi goes to hug him And Kenny Omega kind of pushes him away, like, no, I don't want your help. Oh. And that happens like once or twice. And then Kenny goes to walk out of the ring, and Kota grabs him, and they just embrace, and they shoot all these red streamers into the air.
Yes!
It was
red
incredible.
Streamers.
And just this wave of emotion moved through everyone. It was amazing.
So, I mean, that's it, really, is that it generates a great deal of emotion.
And if it doesn't, then it's not doing the right things. It's not, and that's, you know, when it's bad, that's how you know it's bad, because nobody feels anything.
Right, you don't really care.
Right.
Right. And so you're like, the acting, so all of these people could act.
Yes.
I mean, because they're clearly acting.
Yes, they are.
And
acting is definitely part of the job. Like, they call wrestlers workers, and call somebody a good worker or a bad worker. And when you
it's
say
a whole
somebody's
other
a
language.
Yeah, it is. And
very
when you say
much.
Somebody's a good worker, it's not about if they know the moves. It's about if they're working the crowd properly.
Okay.
If they're working the crowd properly, then people are emotionally invested in the match one way or another.
This feels it, you know what, there's part of me that's rejected this wrestling thing my whole life because I was essentially raised to be a carny.
Mm-hmm. This is pure carny business.
It's a lot of carny, yeah. Like you're these are marks.
Yes.
But the thing is what they did from the sound of it about 15 years ago was they took the veil off.
Right.
And they said and the audience is like, "Yes, we are marks."
Yeah, we are.
Play us like a violin.
We're called smart marks.
Okay.
Or smarks for short.
Is anyone really using the word smarts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I thought you just made that up.
No.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Interesting. Okay. So Kenny Omega, do you go to live shows ever?
I go to live shows a lot, or whenever I can.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you live in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have live WWE?
They have live WWE, and they have some of the best independent wrestling in the world in Los Angeles as well.
And are they in just sort of bars? Are they sort of...
The independents?
Yeah.
Yes. There's actually an independent company called Bar Wrestling.
Okay.
They literally wrestle in bars.
Okay. And so they set up small rings.
Yeah.
And do they always set up a ring, or is it like stand-up where all of a sudden it's gorilla wrestling in a corner?
Oh, no. You got to set up a ring.
Yeah, there should be a ring.
There was something that happened in Japan where somebody did like a Royal Rumble on a train.
Okay.
And so basically the way a Royal Rumble works is there's a battle royal, but people kind of come in every 90 seconds or so to the match. So they did one on a train where people are wrestling, and then like every stop, another guy gets on and joins the match. So you can do wrestling without a ring, but typically there's a ring.
Oh, my God. Mike Eagle. Open Mike Eagle, you guys. This has been amazing. What I have to say is that we have to wrap it up because there's more show and there's more panels. There's a panel in about an hour that I'm doing with amazing women. It's called Women Who Work.
Yeah, Women at Work. Yeah.
Women at Work. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you could come to that. Anyway, what you should know is that we have been talking about wrestling. That has been the Dorkdoms. The Dorkdom has been wrestling, and I've been with Open Mike Eagle. And Open Mike Eagle has an album. Your current album is Brick Body Kids Still Daydream.
Yep.
Will it be? Is it available in the guest?
Did
you bring any?
I have some product there, but I haven't actually laid eyes on it yet. So yeah. I don't want to say what it is. Might be that.
Might be that.
Might be something else. I don't know.
You don't know. And it turns out in just too few days, you will have the internet again, so you'll be able to do it. Tights and Fights is his weekly podcast about wrestling, and you could follow him at Mike_Eagle. So thank you so much for coming to a live
one
episode.
One more thing. For any wrestling fans listening, I'm going to be doing a show at WrestleMania this
That's
year.
Right.
The weekend of WrestleMania in the town where WrestleMania is being held. It's in New Orleans. I think it's that Friday night because people typically stay the whole week now. So if you're there in New Orleans Friday at a place called One Eye Jack's, I'm doing a show called Matt-Mania. A wrestling-themed rap show.
Wrestling-themed rap show in New Orleans in March, it is, right?
It's, I think, the first weekend of April, WrestleMania weekend.
Whatever WrestleMania. You will know in your hearts what that is. And I forgot to play. That's great. And then, and if you don't know about the Dork Forest, it's just at dorkforest.com. And it's on all the things that people get podcasts on. And now on YouTube.
Ooh.
So you can look at a slug while you listen to an hour-long podcast. Because it's just a picture. Be a picture of Mike, picture of the logo. For an hour. Or you could download it like a person. onto your device. It's so weird to me that people listen to it on YouTube. But of course, listen to it however the fuck you want. The rules with the Dork Forest, as I leave, as I like to say this, remember the rules out there, Rangers. Take care of each other. Good night.
Thank you.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh, my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?